Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 133. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is this week's special co-host, back from beyond, too hot, Scott Michella.
Thanks, Chris. Hi. This is fun. I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm pleased that you thought I was worthy of calling up and filling in.
No problem. You're welcome back anytime.
To be fair, you do have a lot of options and a lot people more knowledgeable than I am, so I appreciate it.
Well, at any rate, we are back, of course, once again to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. Our big topic this week is something we are calling Genre Jumble, where we'll be talking about, you know, what ways some of our favorite franchises could be reinvented by attempting a new genre. But first, let's kick things off with some news. First of all, in the news, Nintendo has provided us with an update of Octopath Traveler, the upcoming RPG for Switch. Scott, did you catch the news about the two new protagonists?
I did not, and I know people are following this really closely. I played the demo and I wasn't totally blown away, so I'm going to wait.
I enjoyed the demo.
And that demo is a long demo. My gosh. So, yeah, I'm excited for it, but I'm not excited enough to follow it like some people are, like probably you are.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
And we have found out that there are, you know, two new main characters that they have introduced, you know, out of the total eight. So we now know about Honnet, the hunter, and she has an action called Provoke, which initiates a fight with NPC characters by bringing in, like, one of her beast companions. And she is in the game because she is searching for her her master, her sensei, I guess. And then the other character that they introduced us to was Therion the Thief, and his action is steal. He can steal items from just about any NPC in the game. Mm-hmm. And his storyline is that he is looking for a prized gemstone. So on top of Ulbrich the Knight, Primrose the Dancer, Tressa the Merchant, and Alphen the Apothecary, we now know six of the eight characters that are going to be in the game.
Is this the first time Square has done this, where they've put out a demo super early, got feedback from the community, and then now they start in drips and drabs, like, announcing things about the game and telling people more about the characters?
Well, it's probably the first time they've ever done anything, you know, quite like this. Of course, obviously, Nintendo is heavily involved since they're the publisher of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That probably has something to do with the way things are being handled. But I don't ever recall there being a process, you know, quite like this. It is very interesting.
It seems like they've taken a page out of, like, the Pokemon playbook or the... Even what Capcom had done with, like, Mega Man Legends. Was it Mega Man Legends? Or...
Who got me? That was a long time ago.
Yeah. But it's similar that they're approaching their marketing of the game this way, which I think it's working out for them. I mean, people are hyped and excited for these new announcements. So
yeah, I'm certainly very, very interested. In addition to finding out about these new characters, they also, you know, showed off, you know, new areas of the game, and, you know, we're getting to see some visuals that look a little bit more varied. Like Honnet's area is this forest village, and, you know, if I have one criticism about what I've seen of the game so far, is that it looks very, very, you know, kind of brown and monochromatic. So it's nice to see some place that looks really bright and lush, like a forest. And then, in addition to that, we learned that actions can be considered either noble or rogue. And these two new characters are considered rogue. And the way that that's important, apparently, is that rogue actions can damage your reputation, which influences how NPCs interact with you. So that's, you know, a very interesting system that we've learned is being incorporated into the game. And, you know, hopefully it's very meaningful and, you know, helps things unfold in very cool ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, the more I learn about the game, the more interesting it sounds, and it should be pretty cool when it comes out this summer.
Awesome.
So knowing all this stuff, does this you know, get you more interested? Are you more excited than you were before you heard this news, Scott?
You know, I have to pick and choose my gaming experiences very carefully these days. I take so long now to play through some of these big games.
Yeah, tell me about it. I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2 for forever.
There you go. Yeah. You know, I'll probably pick this up And I hope I enjoy it more than I did the demo. I'm not quite sure what about the demo I didn't like. Maybe it was just all the running around I felt like I was doing, and I wasn't quite sure like where to go next.
Well, you certainly have a few more months to make the decision. They have a few more months to impress you.
Yeah.
The game is coming out on July 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, personally, I am very much looking forward to it. We've had, you know, a lot of ports. We have ports upcoming,
yeah,
you know, later on next month. And I'm ready for something new and fresh, and I'm pretty sure I am going to pick up Octopath Traveler on day one.
So are you going to pre-order that ridiculous box with the pop-up book?
I'm not. This time, okay. I actually did not.
You held back.
You know, I am a big sucker for all those special editions, but this time I did not do it, and I don't think I'm going to this time.
I hope it's not because I shamed you on Twitter.
No. This time I'm holding back. I'm using a little bit of self-restraint. Yeah, I got to save all that shelf space for Amiibo, you know?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, moving along to some third-party news, there was some cool Sega announcements over the last several days. We have found out that Sega Ages is coming to Nintendo Switch this summer. Now, Sega Ages is a collection of remastered old games. There will be at least 15 games in the Sega Ages series, and 5 of them have been announced already. These games are going to be ported by M2. They're the same developer that made the Sega 3D Classics on 3DS. And right now, the games that have been announced are Genesis, Master System, and arcade games. But Sega says if this goes well, they could also end up porting over some Saturn or Dreamcast games.
Oh, wow. That would be crazy. I didn't expect that. Wow.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't happened yet, but it could be really, really cool. Anyway, the 5 games that have been announced so far are Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, obviously that's a no-brainer. Thunder Force 4, which was released in the U.S., you know, way back in the day as Lightning Force.
Mm-hmm.
Phantasy Star from the Master System. Alex Kidd in Miracle World, also from the Master System. And, you know, I've never really, you know, played many of the Alex Kidd games. The only one I've ever played at all is Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle.
Uh-huh.
Are you much of an Alex Kidd fan?
I'm not. I have played Alex Kidd a long, long, long time ago when I was a kid. I just remember it not being as good as a Super Mario game, so I don't have a good opinion of it. I'm sorry to all the Sega fans out there.
You know, I have to say, there was an episode a few weeks ago, you know, someone asked me about mascots that we love to hate, and I probably should have said Alex Kidd at that time. I don't know, for some
boring,
reason, he just always seemed like such a weak mascot, and, you know, I was happy when Sonic replaced him as Sega's mascot. And, of course, the whole Americanized version of him on, you know, that Genesis box art for Enchanted Castle is just so goofy and weird. I don't want to be too hard on Alex Kidd. Like I said, I haven't played very many of his games.
Yeah.
Maybe I will finally check this one out when it hits the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm not the biggest Alex Kidd fan, I got to say. And then the 5th title that's been announced is Gain Ground. This will be the arcade version of Gain Ground, not the Genesis version.
Cool.
There's no pricing on these yet and no specific release dates. But as I mentioned, there could be, you know, like 15 or more games in this series coming out. So, Scott, I was wondering, you know, if it was up to you, if you could pick more games to join these titles in the Sega Ages series on Switch, what would you pick?
I'm leaning a lot towards arcade games. I did write up a list.
Okay.
I love Hang On.
Huh?
And I think motion controls might be something they could use there. I love how M2 ported those 3D classics.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't just make it in 3D. They added features to the games. They made them a lot less punishing than they used to be. A lot more replayable, like Phantasy Zone. They made a system where if you played and lost and you had money in your bank account, it would go into a pot of money. And then you could add that pot of money to your starting amount. And then you could start at any level that you've been to already. So it made the game actually finishable, which I don't think Phantasy Zone even is able to be finished without being a pro. So definitely Phantasy Zone 1 and 2. Do you want me to go through a whole list here? Or?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Although I suppose I should mention, before you finish with that, you know, these versions are also going to have all of those additions that were featured in the Sega 3D Classics version. So, like,
Sonic
the Hedgehog will have his spin dash, you know, in the original game that really didn't get added until the sequel. And, you know, other games will have other new features like that that are all added in there. So they aren't just, you know, the ports of the classic, they will have those additions you're alluding
to. Yeah, I think that's what makes this such an attractive thing. You know, Nintendo, whatever we're calling those classics that they... What are we calling those Nintendo classic arcade games?
Oh, that's Arcade Archives.
Arcade Archives. Like, those are just straight old ports, and they haven't done anything to make them more... exciting to a younger audience.
Like, yeah, they haven't changed the playability at all.
Yeah, they haven't changed the playability. I like them because I'm an oldie. You know, I'm an old person who likes those games because I grew up with them. But convincing a 20-year-old or somebody who's never played these old games before to pick them up in their original form is not a very attractive package, I don't think.
They're a little hard to go back to sometimes.
They are. So I'm caveating all my choices with the fact that I know M2 adds really cool features to make these games a lot more palatable and playable. So with that said, I say Hang On, Afterburner, Rise Star, which is a great game that was on the Genesis that I absolutely loved, and also on the Game Gear. Such a good game.
Yeah, that's a fantastic platformer.
And Outrun, Golden Axe.
Yes.
Mickey's Castle of Illusion, I know, is never going to come, but
that'd
love
be great,
that.
Though.
Shinobi and Fantasy Zone, like I said, and Quackshot. Again, throwaway that I know they're never going to put Quackshot on this collection, but just thought I'd throw it out there because it's a good...
Oh, Quackshot, the Donald Duck game.
Yeah, the Donald Duck game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, licensing aside, if I could have Quackshot and Castle of Illusion, you know, back... on current consoles, that would be awesome. That would be amazing. Those would definitely be on there. I did not write those down as my picks. The ones that I am kind of hoping to get, and I'm sure we'll get some of the ones that you were talking about. Those 3D games like Afterburner and Hang On. I mostly went with 2D side-scrolling stuff. So if I could choose anything, I would go with Revenge of Shinobi, Golden Axe, Shadow Dancer, the arcade version, which has never been ported to a home system. Mm. And I think this would be a brilliant opportunity for them to do that. Mm-hmm. Golden Axe, Revenge of Death Adder, which just a week or two ago, someone was asking me about, if I could have any arcade game ported to Switch, what would it be? And it would definitely be that one. Then on top of that, I'd go with Streets of Rage 2, Shining Force, Sonic CD, which is my favorite classic 2D Sonic game.
Oh, yeah, Sonic CD.
Gunstar Heroes, Phantasy Star 4, and then to follow in the footsteps of your unlikely licenses, I would love to see them bring back Moonwalker.
Would you do Moonwalker, the Genesis version, or the arcade version?
I would do the arcade version if I could. I mean, it'd be great to have both, but they never ported that arcade game to any home console. So if they could get through the licensing, I would love to see them do that. So, put that on my unlikely dreams list.
I love those choices. I'm a lot more hopeful that they're going to bring Outrun and the ones they've already ported, because I assume it will be fairly... not fairly easy, but less work to just bring over one of those other 3D classic games. But man, I play those a lot. I pick those up when I pick up my 3DS. Like just last night, I was playing Fantasy Zone in 3D on my 3DS. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep, they're really great. And hopefully they will bring some of your choices and my choices to Sega Ages on Switch.
Hear, hear.
In addition to that, Sega announced that Valkyria Chronicles 1 is going to be coming to the Switch, at least over in Japan. We know that Valkyria Chronicles 4 is coming to Switch probably later this year. They still haven't given out an exact release date on that yet, but last we heard, they were aiming for late in 2018. But that's pretty cool that they're bringing the original out as well. You got a remaster on PS4 not too long ago, so hopefully it'll be pretty close to that. It's a really excellent... strategy RPG series that I have not played enough of, but I have really, really enjoyed what I've played. And so that's really great that it's going to have a chance to get a new audience here on Switch.
Yeah, I love that everybody's jumping on the Switch bandwagon. This is exciting.
Yeah, totally.
There's always news. Yeah.
Have you ever played Valkyria Chronicles at all?
I have not.
Well, I'm glad that you're going to have the chance. It's a pretty nifty series, gorgeous art style, very interesting worldview, and this really cool mix of turn-based strategy with some real-time shooting action. It's really, really cool. Hope the Switch port is just as good as the other versions.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Moving along to another third-party release. You know, here's a game that kind of slipped under my radar when it was announced several months back. That is BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, which is coming to Switch courtesy of the folks at Arc System Works.
I thought it was BlazBlue.
You know, I've never figured out how to pronounce that series. Is it BlazBlue? Is it BlazBlue?
I've always thought it was BlazBlue, but BlazBlue makes a lot more sense, but there's no E in there. I'm not really familiar with it, except for the fact that I never know how to pronounce it.
Well, that is for good reason, and you might be totally right. I'm not sure either. But, you know, this is, you know, the latest in that series of, you know, 2D fighting action games. And this one, of course, is a crossover with other series, and it's got a tag team mode. So it's got two-on-two fighting action starring not only characters from BlazBlue or BlazBlue or whatever it's called, but also from the Persona RPG series, from the Under Night Inbirth fighting game series, which I honestly have no idea what that is. If someone asked me what that was, I would have been, oh yeah, that's a game about, you know, giving birth to children or something. I have no idea. I've never played it. And also from the RWBY or Ruby animated series.
Oh wow, that's big.
And I'm not too familiar with most of those properties, but yeah, it sounds like a really cool crossover. It's got to have lots of flashy special moves and super attacks and, you know, beautiful anime style graphics. So it is pretty darn cool that's going to be coming out on Switch.
Yeah, Ruby has a huge following in the anime community, so...
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to buy this just to play as those characters.
Right, absolutely. And the game is coming out on June 5th, but, you know, the recent news is that there is a collector's edition. So in addition to the game, it's going to come with a 52-page art book, a 15-track soundtrack CD, a steelbook game case, and four character figurines of, you know, one character from each game of this crossover. So from BlazBlue, it's got Ragna. From Persona, it has Yu. From Undernight Inbirth, it has Hyde. And then from RWBY, it has Ruby. So that's going to be pretty neat for fans of those series.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, I used to work for an anime company. I know how intense the fandom is. And a game like this totally plays into the fandom, and I'm sure it's going to sell well.
Yeah, this collector's edition is not cheap. It will cost $100, but it's great to see they're doing this for Switch, and it sounds like a really impressive package. Not something I'm planning to buy, but the game's gone from something I was barely even aware of to a game that very much has my interest. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, and on top of that, there's also a pre-order bonus at select retailers for either the regular edition or the special edition. It's a mini soundtrack featuring 7 tunes from the game. Now, Scott, you like old school 8-bit games, right?
I do.
Have you paid any attention to the announcement of Quad Fighter K, which is going to be localized for Switch courtesy of Axis?
No, I don't know anything about Quad Fighter K. I'm going to have to Google it right now.
Okay, well, let me tell you about it. It is not a classic 8-bit game, but it is a new, recently released game on Switch, and it's very, very much in, you know, the NES style with, you know, that kind of graphics and presentation. It is a top-down space shooter, you know, that looks like it was taken, you know, straight from the 8-bit era, except for the fact, of course, that it packs way more on the screen than you would ever have gotten, you know, back in those 8-bit days. You know, naturally, the Earth is under attack from aliens, and it's up to you and your friends to save the planet. And the thing that sets this apart from classic NES shooters is it has 4-player local co-op. And so not only can each player, you know, do their own thing, you know, blasting it up and shooting down all the enemies and dodging bullets, but you can also connect and link up your ships to increase your firepower and gain new attacks. And that certainly sounds like something different and unique and pretty darn cool from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of top-down shooters anymore. I think this is going to be really cool.
Yeah, it seems pretty darn nifty.
I think it's a missed opportunity that you can't play it in vertical mode or, you know, weird portrait mode.
Uh-huh.
But still, I think it's awesome. I'm excited. I shouldn't be dinging something I have never played. But, you know, when you play these top-down scrolling shooters, having that more, the ability to rotate the screen, what the kids call Tate mode, or Tate? Is it Tate? Tate? What do you think?
I've never said it myself. It's probably Tate.
I think more of this is good. I know people are kind of getting worn out on this 8-bit style to games, but not me. I have gray hair and I love it.
Yeah, it definitely seems like something pretty cool. I mean, it is out now in Japan, and since the Switch is region free, you could go into the Japanese eShop right now and download it for 1,500 yen. It's about $15. But I just think it's cool that it's getting localized and the full treatment and all that stuff, and that be able to get it without having to figure out how to make purchases from the Japanese eShop.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I think this one is coming sometime in the summer, if I'm not mistaken. And it looks like it should be pretty cool, especially if you've got friends around to play it with.
I'm trying to think of what game it reminds me of. Like, there's an NES top-down scrolling shooter. It looks just like this, but I just can't put my finger on it. But, of course, you can't play that one four-player local co-op. So I think games like this are a no-brainer. You know, you ultimately end up buying these when you have three other people over and you're kicking back with some beers. And
yeah,
somebody
totally.
Says, have you played this game? You have to download it right now. So I think that's how a lot of people wind up with a game like this on their Switch. And I'm excited for that opportunity.
Yep, should be fun. All right, that's all we've got for the news. So let's take a little intermission. And then we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, the genre jumble. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which we are calling Genre Jumble. And the idea for this week's big topic is to take some of our favorite franchises, some of our favorite IPs, and think about how maybe they would benefit from a change to a different genre, or a spinoff of a different genre.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, series like Mario have had tons of genres. It's been a platformer, it's been sports, it's been racing, it's been RPG, it's been puzzle, it's been strategy. Mega Man has been an action game and an RPG and also a racing game and a soccer game. But it seems like in recent years, it's, almost become even more prominent. We've had Zelda and Fire Emblem cross over into the action genre, with the Warriors spinoffs, the Musou-style games. And, once upon a time, there was even, a Metroid pinball game. So
I love that Metroid pinball game. Oh, it's so good.
It was a great game.
Yeah, it's a great game.
So, obviously it's not a new concept, but, it's something that I think they could still do more with. And so that is where this discussion is going for this week's big topic. So, Scott, should I kick it off with my first suggestion?
Yes, please.
Okay. My first idea for taking a game in a new direction with a new genre would be a Pokemon platformer. Or maybe it's more accurate to say a Metroid-style adventure game, with platforming elements. But, in games like, the Castlevanias of this nature, or Metroid, you're always learning these new abilities. You get, a double jump or a grappling hook or whatever. But, the Pokemon, they have so many cool abilities, built in. What if, as you're going through the game, you're, acquiring new Pokemon and you can, equip which Pokemon you use? And, maybe, some of them are used for attacking. Some of them are used for, getting new abilities in combat, There are obviously Pokemon that people can ride or they can fly on or they can use to get a boost. And I just think, using the Pokemon in that way to navigate a 2D side-scrolling Metroid-style platform-heavy world could be really, really cool and fun.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Could you see yourself taking control of the Pokemon as well, or would they just kind of go out and do your bidding?
Well, I figure you'd mostly be in control of a Pokemon trainer.
Okay, I'm picturing a boy and his blob.
I think it'd be a little bit like that.
Like that. Like, you feed jelly beans to the blob and it turns into like a helicopter. So you throw Pikachu out there and he shocks the floor, and then any enemy that's on the current platform gets shocked.
Well, something like that. I mean, I was thinking of like, you know, Castlevania Aria of Sorrow. Uh-huh. And in that one, you get enemy souls, more than 100 different ones, mm-hmm. much like there are more than 100 Pokemon to collect in each game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think some of them would be, you know, they would enhance your attacks. Like you could just throw out, you know, Pikachu and he could do lightning attacks for you. Or some of it might be, you know, you put down, you know, you can call upon Lapras and you can use him to ride across the water. Mm-hmm. Maybe Charizard could temporarily follow you around like a familiar, or a flying Pokemon could let you glide to extend your jump, or maybe some would just boost your stats. I haven't thought about how every single Pokemon would work, but I just think there's a lot there and a lot that they could, you know, build upon. And just by saying, oh, I've got, you know, 3 Pokemon active at any single time, and, you know, you activate each one by hitting a different button or something. Or maybe some of them just have, you know, these innate abilities. I think they could do lots of stuff with that.
Yeah. They haven't done much with the Pokemon property, I mean,
they've done tons of Pokemon spin-offs, you know.
They do tons.
Pokemon Snap and Mystery Dungeon.
But those spin-offs are just so... But they're, I hate to say it, but they're very kid-centric. They're kind of, they're just not for me.
No, I mean, they are kid-centric, but, you know, they're for everyone. And that's kind of what I would hope this one would be.
But like Pokemon Arena, who's that for? Is that for you? Do you play that?
Pokken Tournament?
Yeah, Pokken Tournament, yeah.
You know, I don't own that one. It seemed pretty decent, but I didn't pick it up personally. But I did play through Detective Pikachu.
Well, that's probably the weirdest thing they could have done with that IP. So a platforming Pokemon game is definitely within the realm of possibility after something like Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, to be honest, I think Detective Pikachu is probably the game that inspired me to use this as a big topic.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I did start playing that last month and played all the way through, and it's like, yeah, this is such a weird and unexpected thing for Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know, what else could we see some of our favorite franchises do? And like you're saying, if they can do Detective Pikachu, they could probably go pretty much anywhere.
For
so,
sure, for
but,
sure.
But, you know, a platformer thing almost seems too obvious, and I think they could do lots of cool things with it. So
yeah,
you know, maybe someday.
I'm surprised they haven't taken Pokemon back to its roots and create like a Hearthstone like game with Pokemon, with like a deck building game.
Hmm.
I think people would lose their minds for something like that.
Yeah, that's actually probably way more likely than what I was thinking of. But mm-hmm. they could totally do that too. Another one I was thinking of is perhaps a Xenoblade fighting game.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know enough about Xenoblade to know how many characters you'd get out of that. There are a ton of monsters. Would you play as the monsters?
Well, there are so many characters in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because you have your driver characters, and there's only a handful of those. And then you also have your blade characters.
Uh-huh.
And each driver can bring like 3 blades into battle. You can constantly swap them out. And then there are lots of them that you're almost never going to use because there's just so many in the game. And so between the drivers and the blades, and then, you know, the characters from previous Xenoblade games, you obviously want to have the cast from like Xenoblade Chronicles 1.
Uh-huh.
There are a ton of characters to choose from. A lot of them are made by, I think, you know, a variety of famous artists from Japan. And, you know, getting these characters in their own game to be able to really shine just as characters and show off all their cool moves that, you know, you almost, in some cases, don't even get to see that much of in Xenoblade Chronicles itself, I think could be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff in that game, a wealth of stuff, possibly too much stuff. And I think it would translate really, really well to, you know, have just a one-on-one fighting, or maybe a tag-style fighting mm-hmm. game. Yeah, that would make sense, you know, since, you know, they have the blades and drivers, teams of 3. I could see that being like a 3-on-3 versus battle. Yeah, I think they could do lots of really cool stuff with that.
And the characters are different enough that there'd be a ton of different powers on each of the characters? Is that...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they look very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have different, you know, elemental affinities as well. And, you know, a wide variety of weapons. You know, some have hammers, some have swords, some have claws. And, again, very, you know, visually different mm-hmm. as well. You know, some look like people, some look like birds. So to answer your question, yes, there would be room for tons of variety. And the actions they perform in the game, you know, are very fighting game-esque to begin with. So I don't really think it would be that much of a stretch to see it translate into a pure fighting game. I mean, mm-hmm. my choice would be a 2D fighting game, not a 3D one, but either way, I think it would probably work out pretty darn well.
So are you a proponent of, let's say, the Xenoblade team saying to a company that's known for making good fighting games and saying, here's our IP, we know you make good fighting games, please make a Xenoblade fighting game based on our cool IP? Or would you prefer the Xenoblade team to take a year off of making the next Xenoblade game to build something like this on their own?
Well, in this case, the team that makes Xenoblade isn't known for fighting games, so I would totally outsource it to some sort of fighting game specialist.
Yeah.
You know, have Aiding do it, or have Namco Bandai do it again, mm-hmm. you know, like they did with Pokemon. They did a fairly decent job on that. So, I would have someone who's, you know, more experienced in making fighting games do it in this case. And I'm sure that, you know, they can be true to the original company's IP. I mean, heck, you know, especially someone like Namco, if they were able to help out with, you know, so much in Smash Brothers, mm-hmm. I'm confident they could do an equally great job with Xenoblade.
Yeah, yeah.
But enough about that. What would be one of your ideas for a game taking on a new genre?
Well, this is kind of maybe tangential to the conversation, but my first thought was, oh my gosh, you had listed the Metroid pinball game. How great would a really high quality pinball table collection, a digital pinball table collection from Nintendo with all the different Nintendo IPs be for pinball nerds like me? I would lose my mind. It would be so wonderful.
I was thinking about that specifically. I was like, you know, if he doesn't bring it up himself, I'm going to ask him what Nintendo IPs Scott would most want to have turned into a pinball game.
Oh, I would say all of them. And, you know, why not? Like, I'm forgetting the name of the company that develops those pinball games with all the popular IPs these days, the digital pinball games.
Oh, Zen Studios, Zen Pinball.
Yeah, Zen Pinball, the Zen Pinball series. Nintendo would just do so much better at that than Zen Pinball does, because it's not very, it just doesn't feel like a real pinball game. The Zen Pinball game, it's pinball with the word with like quotes around it, because it's kind of like pinball, but the ball has completely unrealistic physics. I know Nintendo would really go, you know, like the Farsight people make a really superior, you know, virtual pinball system. So if they could team up with the Farsight folks to make a pinball series based on the Nintendo IPs that are really high quality pinball tables, I would probably pay $10 per IP per table, basically.
Yeah,
my price. So Nintendo, make that for me.
But if you could only pick one, which would you go for?
Oh, it'd have to be Super Mario. It would have to be Mario. Just because it's just the most obvious IP to use for a pinball game, and it's already been a pinball machine.
That's true.
But Zelda, of course, would be just a beautiful experience, and another take at another shot at a Metroid pinball game would be so much fun. Kirby, Pokemon, and there's a reason why Nintendo is so free to just do whatever they want with these IPs. They kind of adapt to whatever the genre you throw at them.
Right,
Mario especially.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a Mario pinball game.
Yeah.
It was on Game Boy Advance. I believe Kirby's had a pinball game. Obviously, Pokemon's had a pinball game.
Yep.
But something new and fancy and cutting edge would definitely be really cool.
Yeah, and the portrait mode on the Switch would be the topper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be excellent. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, as far as some sort of new Nintendo IP incorporated into a pinball game that hasn't been done before, I was thinking Chibi-Robo would be one I would love to see them do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the cool things about Chibi-Robo is, you know, he's a small character in the real world, and it would be really cool to see them adapt things, you know, like you know, bookshelves or, you know, buildings or things that, you know, he could encounter and just sort of adapt that into like a pinball field. Like, mm-hmm. I would think that they could do something really fun and really cool and creative with that.
Yeah, I like that.
Plus, you know, after the character's last outing, you know, I'm not really, you know, excited to see him in another platform or anything like that.
I haven't played Ziplash. I feel like I didn't hear enough good things about it, so it didn't end up.
It had issues. I really, really wanted to like that game, but only the really good thing that came out of it was that amiibo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a pinball game would be a really fun and cool way to reintroduce the character and still do something worthwhile with him.
Yeah.
You know, after Ziplash kind of turned me off of him for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's another one I've got here from third parties? Talking about third parties, I would like to see Street Fighter become an RPG. I'd like to see a Street Fighter role-playing game.
Huh. And what I mean, it's so much it's comedy. It's the violence in Street Fighter is just comical. Do you think it would be a funny RPG, or would it be a serious RPG?
You know, I wouldn't want it to take itself too seriously, but I'd like it to find a balance between dramatic and fun.
Uh-huh.
I've been a fan of the Street Fighter comics for years, and they prove that there's a lot that can be done with this universe.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of story elements that have barely even been touched on in the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, having a party system, being able to explore this whole world and, you know, fight against the evil of Shadaloo as a team could be really, really fun. And, you know, also taking a clue from, you know, past classic RPGs. You know, I think back to Final Fantasy VI, where the character Saban, you know, had these Street Fighter style motions for his special moves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, having a turn-based, modern-looking Street Fighter RPG that still incorporated these cool joystick motions from the arcade games into executing your moves in combat, you know, would be a really cool and fun way to do things.
Yeah, when I close my eyes, all I see is those chibi versions of the Street Fighter characters, the little, like, you know, the little kid versions of them.
I wouldn't be against that. I could see them doing it that way. That could actually work really well. I mean, that would, probably, that seems like it would work better on 3DS or something maybe than it would on Switch, but I could totally see it being done that way. That would be one way to do it.
Yeah, what's stopping a Capcom from saying, you know, hey, let's get an outside developer to do this for us, and here's our IP.
Mm-hmm.
The IP is worth so much to them, and they just aren't doing anything with it beyond the fighting games.
I mean, that's the thing, is that Street Fighter has this really, really rich universe that's been built up over the past 30 years, and, you know, not everybody is into, you know, fighting games or, you know, reflex oriented stuff or, you know, versus play online. So, you know, especially for maybe, you know, some older players who are like, oh yeah, I'm not really into that anymore. You know, this might be a good way to bring in, you know, lapsed Street Fighter players, mm-hmm. or bring in people who just like, no, I'm just not a one-on-one fighting guy, but I do like these other kinds of games. So something that's a little bit, you know, slower paced, methodical, but still has the character and personality and great character designs and cool special moves of Street Fighter, I think that'd be a great way to go.
Yeah, I agree. It's really exciting to think about that.
It's actually something I've been wanting to see for a long, long time.
Yeah. Something I would love to see, and I know never going to happen, but one of my favorite IPs from the last 15 years original from Nintendo is the Professor Layton series.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to see a Professor Layton adventure game. I feel like going around and actually physically doing things and having to go from place to place and solve puzzles in a very adventure game puzzle way would be just so rewarding. And I think it would bring that character to life even more than what you get out of
that. I mean, that is, you know, fairly similar to what he's doing now. So paint me a bit of a picture. How would this be different from, you know, the current Professor Layton games, or the ones that were out on DS and 3DS?
Yeah. I don't feel like I have the freedom of movement in those games as I do in, you know, in like a Zelda adventure game.
That's true. The character doesn't walk around. You just look at the static scene.
That's right.
And click on things.
Yeah.
So you actually take control of Layton and maneuver him around.
Exactly. Moving him around and exploring I hate to like invoke Monkey Island, because it's kind of, the puzzles in Monkey Island are kind of almost arbitrary. I think Layton could do those kind of puzzles so much better. Even though Monkey Island is, you know, those LucasArts adventure games are just so, they're the best version of what they could be. But I feel like Layton could bring that kind of adventure game, make it, I don't know, make the puzzles less arbitrary, for sure. Yeah, and I always felt a lot of freedom in those LucasArts adventure games. So that's the kind of adventure game I'm seeing. I don't know if I'm able to really convey what I see in my mind, but a game like that, or like a top-down Zelda game with Layton as a character.
Would he be stabbing things with a sword?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't know how it would work, because, you know, the way an adventure game works, you know, there are all these encounters with different baddies. I don't see that being the more likely thing. I think the more likely thing would be like a lovingly cartoony, like LucasArts adventure game with Layton as the central character.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly down for more Leighton, especially the senior Leighton. After playing that last game with his daughter, I don't really care about seeing her again. But yeah, some high-end, really cool-looking Leighton mm-hmm. adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally down with that. So are you ready for my most ridiculous suggestion yet?
Yes.
A Sonic the Hedgehog survival horror game.
Okay.
Kind of.
That's not bad.
I mean, to be honest, I'm thinking something a little bit more like, Luigi's Mansion, where it would be, more on the silly and comical side.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, there was something I think the Sega Twitter or Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter where they joked about a Big the Cat survival horror game. Uh-huh. And so that got me thinking, they actually could do something like that. Although I don't really see... Big the Cat as the main character. Mm-hmm. I think it would be, again, along the lines of Luigi's Mansion, it'd be a character like Tails or Amy, who is, sort of second fiddle, doesn't quite have the hero pedigree of Sonic.
Uh-huh.
And again, maybe they're trying to find Sonic because he's gone missing, but they're exploring, some sort of haunted mansion. But the thing that keeps popping into my head is like this zombified Big the Cat, like chasing after them, like crashing through walls like Tyrant in Resident yeah. Evil. He smashes through the wall. He's like, Froggy. And I don't know. I think there is something
yeah,
to that.
I think
would be,
something like that played for laughs and not necessarily jump scares. But right, maybe there exactly. are some jump scares.
Maybe a few. Yeah. But yeah, I think they could find that balance if they got the right developer. I think it'd be quite entertaining.
That's awesome. I scribbled down Rayman on my list, and I don't know what Ubisoft can do with Rayman. The Rabbids, I'm not crazy about the Rabbids. So, And we have this amazing, amazing turn-based strategy game
with
the Rabbids, but Rayman isn't given any visibility, and there's no, Rayman's not in the game. I just love Rayman and, what's his name, Globox, and the Lums, and the ridiculous costumes. That... I don't know where to put, I don't know what to do with that. I don't want a cart game. It just feels, it's overdone. I don't know what to do with that. What would you do with Rayman? I maybe an RPG?
I'm not sure. I mean, my first thought was, some sort of racing game. Because I think that, the artistry of the Rayman series, just seeing all that turned into these 3D racing courses could be pretty darn amazing. But, off the top of my head, I'm not really sure there's anything else that comes to mind.
Why do you think they're not doing much with the Rayman IP and so much with the Rabbids? Do you think the Rabbids are bigger than Rayman?
Well, I mean, for a while they were. I mean, it was pretty huge on Wii.
Yeah.
And, it really took the spotlight off of Rayman. And it was a really big deal for a while. Then it got, too played out and everyone got sick of them. But, now they've made a big comeback with that Mario game. Everyone seems to really, really love it. It's, critically acclaimed. And, Rayman's had a few great adventures in the last few years as well. So I kind of feel like at this point, it's wide open. They could do almost anything they want with Rabbids or Rayman as long as it's not another minigame collection.
Yeah. Yeah, Leighton, Rayman, I was really racking my brain to think of other IPs because Nintendo has really milked the heck out of their IPs. There are very few
some of them.
Original IPs left. Some of the older IPs, I feel like they could bring out and do something cool with that would tickle that nostalgia bone. But I don't necessarily want to encourage Nintendo to milk their IPs in the ways that they have.
The other one I'd really like to see them do, and I know I've talked about this on the show not too long ago, is to do something with F-Zero that's not a racing game.
Oh, yeah.
Turn it into an action adventure, open world game where you're actually playing as Captain Falcon, doing his bounty hunter thing. And, maybe you're like racing from city to city with some driving stuff. But really, I want to see him out of the car, fighting bad guys, earning his bounties. And that's something I've been wanting for years and years. And it just feels like such an untapped part of the story. They could do something with gameplay wise.
Yeah.
So, I think that's like super obvious. And I almost wonder why they haven't done that yet.
Now they're too busy doing dumb things.
Well, not with F-Zero.
Not with F-Zero.
They're touching poor F-Zero.
Yeah, you know,
he's not doing anything outside of Smash Bros. He's just killing Pikmin and stuff.
I just feel like they're sitting on top of this gold mine, and they're just kind of being very stingy about what they're going to, like, let out into the world. When you're on the internet, there's all this ridiculousness of people saying, you know, take my money. But really, in a lot of cases, it's like, please, Nintendo, take my money. Why haven't you done the thing that I think would make you, so, you know, a fortune? You know, and even when they do it, they just do it in a very small way, in a teasy way, and they don't really go full bore, except when they're doing it with the Mario series, apparently.
Another one, yeah, I was thinking, what could they do with Kirby? And one of my favorite parts in Kirby Planet Robobot is that in a few stages, you know, the robot suit transforms into a spaceship and it just turns into a shooter. And I thought those stages were so fun, they could make like an entire Kirby shooter out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like something that I could see them selling as a full-priced game, but, you know, give us like between 6 and 10 stages of that, you know, traditional side-scrolling shooter type of stuff with a Kirby aesthetic, and, you know, make it fun and cartoony, and they, obviously you're fighting all of these, you know, goofy cartoon animal characters and, you know, smiling evil cookies or something, just, you know, flying through space and doing that stuff. I think it could be a really, really fun standalone game. And then another one that I believe we've talked about on the show not too long ago, as far as sports go.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what about sports? What about Mario? Uh-huh. What can you do with Mario? Mario's not like every single stinking genre. I still really want a Wario wrestling game.
That's not bad. I mean, wrestling games never really appealed to me. Are there any really big standout wrestling games beyond the WWE games these days? And of course,
there aren't, and that's why it's so wide open. You know,
yeah,
it seems like it is perfect for someone to come in, swoop in, say, like, look, here's a really cool wrestling game that doesn't have the WWE license. But, I know I've said this on the show before, but Wario is like the wrestling promoter and also the star of this wrestling league.
I like it.
And, you know, he turns into his Wario Man persona that is kind of wrestler-like. Uh-huh. Obviously, it's a superhero, but, you know, it sort of looks like a Lucha Libre mask. I just think it could be something that is really hilarious. And, of course, you know, with all the other Mario sports games, they manage to make, you know, games that are accessible and goofy, and also still at the same time, you know, somewhat true to the sport. And I'm sure they could pull off that same sort of thing if they found the right people to make a Wario wrestling game. So that is on my long-term list of things I'd like to see them do. I mean, it's like that and football, the only sports it seems like they haven't touched. So
yeah.
Why the heck not?
Huh. Yeah, they haven't touched football either. And that's something I just hadn't noticed.
I mean, I guess because it's, you know, so American, and in Japan where they make this stuff, they don't really care about American football is probably my guess. But those are like the only two untapped things for Mario to tackle sports-wise.
Yeah.
So, you know, why the heck not? I want to see Wario doing some suplexes.
When Mario and Sonic go to the Olympics, can they at least wrestle in the Olympic style way, like Greco-Roman wrestling?
You know, I'm not sure. You mean naked?
No.
Well, I guess Sonic's already naked, so.
Naked?
I guess so.
What?
Like in the original Greek Olympics in like 800 BC or whatever.
Greco-Roman wrestling was done in the nude?
Well, like, you know, 2,000 years ago or something. That's what I heard.
I did not know that.
But I wasn't there, so don't ask me.
I'm disturbed. We do know what Mario's nipples look like. I want to know what the rest is, though.
Anyway, I want Wario to keep his clothes on when he's wrestling, but you bring up a very good point about what could be the ultimate genre jumble that we want to see, and that is taking Mario and Sonic out of being Olympics and actually being a platformer.
It'd be nice to see them in the same platformer.
Exactly, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, is that what you're talking about? Oh, I thought you were being
facetious.
Of course
it's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
No, I'm saying I want to see Mario and Sonic in a platformer together.
Oh, I don't know. Their physics are totally different.
They are. But, you know, I think they would find a way to make it work, you know?
What if you could play with Sonic or Mario physics? It'd have to be Mario physics. Sonic's physics. Come on, people. Really?
Well, I'm kind of thinking, you know, Mario would have his own physics and Sonic would have his own physics. They'd have separate levels or something, but I don't know. I'm sure they could come up with something, you know?
What if Mega Man was in there?
I would like a Mega Man Sonic crossover as well, and I think I've mentioned that before on a crossover-themed big topic, but that's a little outside the scope of what I'm talking about today. But yeah, I'll take that too.
I'm sad. All this talk about Sega has made me sad. What could have been?
Well, you should be happy. They're making somewhat of a comeback. We're actually getting a bunch of classic games. We're getting more stuff on Switch.
But it's almost in the way that when Atari makes a comeback, you're like, well, it's not really Atari, is it? It's not really Sega, is it? Is it?
It's still really Sega.
Is it really?
I think so.
All right.
They're, you know, smaller than they used to be. But I think it's still Sega.
Is it still really Konami? Is it still really them?
Yeah, who cares about them?
Oh, no. It's not really them, is it? Konami's just kicking around. And it's like, you're not really you anymore.
Konami's just a zombified corpse of what once was. Anyhow, let's get back on track here. Favorite series tackling new genres. It can be a great thing, not only for Nintendo, but for third parties as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see them do more with, you know, the IPs that we all know and love, them experimenting with different genres. I totally, totally encourage, because that's where the next Mario Kart comes from, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm super, super excited to see what the next 4 or 5 years hold, especially with just the momentum that the Switch has. I think the sky's the limit with these crossovers, because, you know, it's really, they can't make enough games to satisfy the demand. Oh, and we need some sort of Fortnite game with Mario. We need a battle royale with Nintendo IPs. Are we going to get it, though?
Oh, man, everything's a battle royale.
Sooner
now.
Or later, they're going to port Fortnite over to the Switch, and it's going to be all over, and Nintendo wouldn't have had the opportunity to do it themselves. But before Fortnite Mania takes over the Switch, they should figure out a way to get some sort of battle royale game on the Switch with those IPs.
Maybe. Nintendo's never been one to jump on the hot new trends, but if anyone can make a unique splash in the genre, it's probably them.
Get the Smash Bros. Team working on that.
Okay, well, I believe we are clearly scraping the bottom of the barrel of this big topic here.
That's right.
So I guess it's time to wrap this up and bring this show to a conclusion. However, you know, before we go, we do have time for one more thing, I believe. Scott, you know what that is?
Oh, I'm hoping it's a dramatic reading, but I'm afraid to find out what it is of.
Well, it's a very spooky dramatic reading. It is indeed a dramatic reading. This time, it is from the pages of Nintendo Power Volume 3. It is the video shorts preview of the NES game Ghostbusters. Here's a business opportunity with a lot of spirit. Make that spirits. Now you can own your own Ghostbusters franchise and avert a disaster of ghoulish proportions. The bank will back you with $10,000 with which to purchase paranormal paraphernalia. Earn a profitable living and upgrade your equipment by capturing and containing all sorts of eerie entities. Show these slimers how we do it downtown.
Oh, no.
Your greatest challenge, of course, will be negotiating the 22-story Zool building and defeating Gozer before the giant marshmallow man can get you. But hey, you ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Oh, no. Whoever had to write that, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know what was going on
there. Editor standing over their shoulder and like, you gotta lay it on thick with this one.
Well, the first part doesn't even sound like it's from Ghostbusters. It sounds like it's something totally different.
Yeah.
What's this about franchises and $10,000? And then it's later on just laying on, you know, you got to throw in the catchphrases and stuff. And it's like, it just came out as sort of a weird mishmash. And, you know, I don't know if I ever played that game, but I believe the reputation is it's terrible.
Yeah, it's the game that came to every platform. And the only thing that the Nintendo version differentiates from the others is that the graphics were slightly, slightly better. But it was literally the same game on the Atari 2600 and on...
Oh, boy.
It was just kind of just not good. Like one of those... Was it LJN or...
I think it was Activision,
actually.
It
was Activision. Yeah, you're right. It was Activision.
Yeah, the old days of Activision. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you drove around the car and you collected the things on the road. You weren't supposed to hit any potholes or something. And then you had to pull over to the side of the road. You have to go block to block and clean out the ghosts and get more money to buy the proton packs, to buy the traps, to get more ghosts. And then you had to go up the dumb build, up the stairs. And you always got killed on the stairs. It was so cheap. Anyway.
Well, like it says, that apparently is the hardest part of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only thing I remember about it is seeing pictures of the ending where it's like, you know, congratulations, you have proven the value of your culture or something terrible like that.
That's so bad.
Yes. Yes, it was, from what I've heard.
Not good. Not good.
Nope.
But the Ghostbusters 2 on the NES, folks. Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, the Famicom version from HAL, you mean.
Figure out how to play that. Find it. Play it. It's good. It didn't come to the US. It was only in Japan. It was called Ghostbusters 2 on the NES.
Okay, I guess that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and hey, if anyone else has their own genre crossover ideas they'd like to share, feel free to send them in. Of course, if you like the podcast, it'd be great if you told your friends about us as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella,
Ghostbusters 2,
and the Tyrannosaurus Rex from Super Mario Odyssey, we will see you next time.